This is the NC Everything Podcast. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the show. This is episode 5, and today we're going to talk about the NC State Fair. I have to talk about the fair because this is the first year in a long time that they're not having it. I didn't realize how much I liked the state fair until they took it away. Most of the time, when my wife asks if I want to go to the fair, I'm kind of either or. I'm back and forth, you know, I don't really like the crowds. But I realized this year I really do like the fair. And I'm kind of a complicated guy. I don't like the crowds, but the crowds is what makes the atmosphere. The atmosphere is what I really like. So even though I don't like the crowds, I need the crowds. I know it sounds weird, but if it was only 100 people at the fair, it wouldn't even be the same. I don't even think I would enjoy it. By the way, I launched episode 1, 2, 3, and 4, and I got a lot of positive feedback. So for you guys who texted me, family and friends, of course, and reached out and told me you enjoyed the show, I really appreciate that. I don't know if I agree with you. I know they're kind of rough. I feel like they're kind of rough, but I really do enjoy the positive words, and it really helped build me up and made me want to get in here and do this again. Also, we're getting some rain from Hurricane Delta that's hitting the Gulf Coast, so it's kind of raining hard right now. If you can hear it, I apologize. I'll try to edit some of that out when I go back and listen. Oh, and before we get too far along, I had a shout-out request on the website. So Corey from Poughkeepsie, New York, thank you for listening to the show. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoy this episode. If you want to be recognized on the show, all you have to do is go to the website at www.thencEverythingPodcast.com, and there's a form there, or you can just email me. There you can also find links to all the other places you can listen, and you can also listen to past episodes. So, back to the fair. I know everybody who enjoys the fair enjoys it in their own way. For me and my wife, we don't really ride a whole lot of rides. We used to ride the Gravitron, and for fair fans, they know exactly what the Gravitron is, but it's a wheel that you get in. It looks like a top, and you don't get strapped in or latched down. It just spins really fast, and you're stuck to the wall because it's spinning so fast. And I remember riding it, and people were literally in there climbing on the walls like spiders. Anyway, it seemed really fun then. I don't know if I can handle it now, but... And then there's the Ferris wheel. And the Ferris wheel gets me every time because it always seems like a really good idea to get on it. And then when we do get on it and I get up top, I remember that I'm actually afraid of heights. But I'm not really afraid of heights. I'm afraid of falling from heights. And I certainly feel like I could fall from the Ferris wheel. So I always regret that every single time. And we do go to the tractor pools every once in a while. And if you don't know what a tractor pool is, you should definitely look it up. It's a lot of fun, but pretty much they take regular tractors and jacked up tractors and they pull a huge heavy sled and see who can get the farthest. I know to somebody who's unfamiliar with the sport that that would sound really backwoods, but it is a whole lot of fun. A lot of stuff we do for fun down here sounds backwoods, but it really is a whole lot of fun to watch. And they used to have free concerts. Me and my wife, we walked into a Montgomery Gentry concert in the Dorton Arena years ago, but I think they charge for concerts now. But for the most part, we just enjoy walking around looking at the exhibits. I do have two kids now, and kids like to do more than just look around, so I will put them on some rides, and I try to make it a good time for them. But I do want to establish that my kids always want to go. I never force them to go to the fair with me. All right, so let's get into the history of it. So this all started in the mid-1800s. A lot of farmers were using what they called destructive practices that were handed down from generation to generation. They stripped the soil of nutrients and produced mixed-breed livestock. A lot of times the livestock wasn't even fenced in. They did what they call free-ranging. And a lot of farmers, unfortunately, were illiterate. So it wasn't like you could go out with cards and pamphlets the way you do today and teach them something new. On top of that, at that time, there wasn't any government agencies to even assist farmers. But in 1852, an agricultural journal editor named Dr. John F. Tompkins decided that he was going to single-handedly turn around the way people farmed in North Carolina. And so he organized a meeting in Raleigh with some of the biggest names in agricultural reform. And then he reformed the North Carolina Agricultural Society. The North Carolina Agricultural Society had first formed in 1818, but later broke apart. Now the Ag Society, which is what I'll call it for the rest of this episode, decided that an annual state fair would be the perfect platform to teach farmers some new ways. They planned on teaching scientific methods of farming, which when I read that, I could see a lot of farmers rejecting that idea, but everything I read sounded like it was really well accepted. Now, to pay for all this, the society charged its members dues, and they convinced the North Carolina legislature to give it $1,500 a year to help with the fair's expenses. Also, the city of Raleigh helped the society obtain fairgrounds that were located east of the Capitol. So it sounds like city and state were really on board with this fair idea. And so, by October 1853, the Ag Society had constructed several buildings to hold ag exhibits as well as a racetrack. And that fall, in 1853, on a 16-acre plot between Harget and Davy Streets in Raleigh, the first NC State Fair was held. It was 4 days long and cost 25 cents to get in. The Ag Society had nightly meetings with some of the state's best farmers to explain better farming methods to visitors. They also held events like horse races, sporting contests, shooting contests, and band concerts. And they awarded a total of $524 in premiums or prizes for the best exhibits of crops, livestock, agricultural machinery, and homemade and household goods. I read that thousands of North Carolina farmers came to the first state fair. Even the railroads provided special rates and trains for passengers during fair week and allowed farmers to ship their exhibits to the fair at a lower price. And I read that the citizens of Raleigh were all too pleased to offer their goods and services to all the fair visitors. So again, it sounds like the fair was really well received. I know in a lot of these stories there's a but this happened, but it sounds like everything was really good during this first fair. But that was the first fair. 10 years later, the North Carolina boys would be up in Pennsylvania getting killed in what is known today as Pickett's Charge. In May of 1861, North Carolina seceded from the Union, joining the Confederacy, and the Civil War. During the war, the fairgrounds was used as a training camp for Confederate troops, and later the exhibition halls were used as military hospitals. Then, in retaliation for using this area to help the Confederates, federal troops set fire to the fairgrounds, because you know the best way to rebuild a country is to set it on fire. But the area wasn't burned flat to the ground, it was just really badly damaged. So after the war, when Judge Thomas Ruffin decided to revive the fair, he just had to build some new walls, sweep up some ashes, and paint some old walls. He reformed the Ag Society again, and they elected Kemp P. Battle as its president. This all took place in 1869, 4 years after the war had ended. The society used its annual member fees and the $1,500 subsidy that the government started paying again to get everything done. They also made the fairgrounds bigger and extended the racetrack to a half a mile. And so in 1869, the fair reopens again, and again, it is very well received. Now, I'm going to go through some of the notable points in the fair's history. I am going to skip some years just because in my research, either nothing super interesting happened during that time, or even the timeline itself skipped over those years. So in 1873, Thomas M. Holt was the president of the Ag Society, and they decided to move the fair to a larger site west of the Capitol. This was near the train tracks, across the street from present-day NC State Campus. The Ag Society built new exhibit halls, a racetrack with a three-story grandstand, 200 stalls for horses and cattle, and 75 pens for sheep and pigs. Now, over the next 50 years, the fair underwent a whole lot of changes, but the Ag Society tried to keep to the main concept of educating farmers. In 1877, the North Carolina Department of Agriculture was created, and they provided many of the fair's exhibits. Another big contributor to the fair was the North Carolina College of Agriculture and Mechanic Arts, which was established in 1887. Today, That college is known as NC State University. Now, one of the biggest changes to the fair around this time was the development of the modern Midway. It had shows and attractions and rides and games and a ton of food. Now, whether they were selling turkey legs and funnel cakes at this time, I really don't know. The big attraction in the fair of 1884 was electricity. This was the first time electricity had ever been used at the fair. Around this time, they also started having a circus every year at the fair. In 1895, the big attraction was chicken incubators. In 1905, President Theodore Roosevelt attended the fair. In 1910, the fair had the very first airplane exhibit. And by 1925, regular attractions at the fair included musical revues, jugglers, acrobats, trained animals, human cannonballs, motorcycle daredevils, and horse and automobile races. In my research, it said that the fair had become part educational, part entertainment, and everybody loved it. Unfortunately, in 1925, the Ag Society went bankrupt and disbanded, and for 2 years, there wasn't a fair. But inside of those 2 years, the Department of Agriculture decided that the fair needed to be moved somewhere else. And so they moved the fairgrounds to its present-day location. During those 2 years, they were building the first two buildings that would be the exhibition halls. Now, these first two buildings they built would later become known as the Education and Commerce Buildings. And if you're familiar with the fair or the fairgrounds, these two buildings are the big, long, white buildings you can see from the road or the train tracks. They have like a Hispanic-looking construction. Or, if you're really familiar with the fair, it's where you can get peanuts and hush puppies. And so, in 1928, the fair reopened in its new home, and the brand new half-mile dirt track was becoming a huge attraction for motorsports. Also in 1928, the fair, with the absence of the Ag Society, was put under control of the Department of Agriculture. In 1937, the Ag Department, which is what I'll be calling the North Carolina Department of Agriculture for the rest of this show, they made Dr. J. Sibley Dorton the first manager of the fair. He remained in that position until his death in 1961. But he had a major plan for the fairgrounds. He wanted to create a place that people could use all year long for all kinds of events, not just the fair. So keep that in mind, because that comes back in just a few minutes. Well, the fair was closed again from 1942 to 1945 due to World War II. In 1948, President Harry Truman attended the fair. In 1952, the building we know today as the Dorton Arena opened. And this building became one of the first buildings that people could use all year long, which is exactly what J. Sibley Dorton had dreamed of. And his idea really did come to fruition. Because today, you can go to the fair for the flea market on the weekends. I've been to a camper and RV show, boat shows. I stumbled into a color guard competition one time. That's a funny story, but I had a really good time. They used to have a lot of concerts there. They had events like the Dixie Deer Classic and the Gun and Knife Show. And they have all sorts of collector shows and trade shows there. They also do a lot of seminars and exhibitions there. Well, back to the story. In 1954, the state's new educational television station, WUNC-TV, airs its first telecast from the new Dorton Arena on opening day. The following year, in 1955, the fair held its first NASCAR event on its half-mile dirt track. Junior Johnson won that first race, but he was really declared the winner because he was leading the race when it was cut short due to rain. In 1958, J.F. Menius and his staff from NC State operated an atomic reactor throughout the fair. The fair of 1961 added 2 days, making the duration now 6 days long. In 1964, James Graham became Commissioner of Agriculture, a position he held until he retired in 2001. In 1969, the fair got extended to 9 days. And in 1970, the North Carolina State Fair Speedway became the last dirt track to ever host a NASCAR race. Richard Petty was the winner of that race, and the track closed shortly after that race. In 1972, the fair sponsored the world's largest space-related educational exhibit. It was actually the Apollo 12 command module. They say about 250,000 people saw it. And I'm kind of a geek when it comes to space. I bet that was pretty awesome. In 1974, two new buildings opened, the Governor Carr Scott Building and the Governor James E. Holzhauser Building. Now, the Holzhauser Building houses the village of yesteryear. And again, if you're not familiar, this is a really cool place. The building itself is round in shape, and so when you go in, the village of yesteryear has all kinds of artisan crafts. So people are making soap and they're carving wood. There's a really cool guy in there who sells these really intricate handmade pipes. There's all kinds of people sewing and quilting. And if you ever go, or if you've never been, you should really check that place out. And the Scott Building, it doesn't say what it was used for back then, but today you go in and it's slam full of tables and all kinds of vendors. So you can buy hundreds of different types of popcorn in there. You can buy raffle tickets for guns. You can talk to people from the FBI and forestry and the Department of Prisons. Actually, that last one doesn't sound that cool, but it is kind of cool. But the whole building is just vendors. There's people selling hats and chairs and massage things. And on one side of the building is the art competition. And you can see paintings, drawings, and photography from people from kindergarten age on up to amateur adults. And all of it is really, really impressive. Moving on, in 1975, the 100,000 square foot Jim Graham Building was complete. Now, when I was a kid, that's where you'd go to see all the cows, sheep. They had a different spot for pigs and goats in the back, but the big livestock was in the Jim Graham Building. Nowadays, they do that in a different building, and it's on a smaller scale, which is kind of disappointing. I am a bit of a country boy, and I like looking at cows. In 1976, President Gerald Ford attends, and in 1983, the Governor James B. Hunt Jr. Horse Complex is opened. It's said to house up to 900 horses. In 1986, the fair extends up to 10 days. In 1992, President George H.W. Bush addresses the fairgoers. In 1996, President Bill Clinton held a meeting in the Jim Graham Building to talk to workers who were using the fairgrounds as a staging area while they worked to clean up the damage caused by Hurricane Fran. In 2001, Meg Scott Phipps is elected as Commissioner of Agriculture following Graham's retirement. I think a lot of people probably remember her. She was born in Mebane and the daughter of Governor Bob Scott and the granddaughter of former Governor W. Carr Scott. She didn't keep her commissioner job very long because she was found guilty of perjury and obstruction of justice, and she pleaded guilty to fraud, conspiracy, and witness tampering. But every story has a golden lining, and hers, I guess, is that while she was in prison, she became friends with Martha Stewart. Steve Troxler replaced her in 2005. Also in 2005, the fair got its first new building since the 80s. This was the Exposition Center. They put it where the old Red Cross Lounge used to be, right next to the Jim Graham Building. In the Exposition Center, that's the place I was talking about where they moved a lot of the livestock. It's not as big as the Jim Graham Building. I actually think it's about half the size. And they got some livestock in there, but the problem is, well, it's not as much livestock. And the same amount of people who would normally go into the Jim Graham Building are now going into this building, which is half the size. And it's right on the edge of the Midway, so it's a high traffic area. So it's kind of a mess in there, to say the least. In 2008, for the first time in 22 years, officials added a day to the fair, making this fair an 11-day state fair. Also, this is the first year the fair stepped into social media with Facebook, Twitter, and a blog called the Deep Fried Blog. They also had a thing on YouTube and a Flickr channel. In 2012, the fair hosted the Century Farm Family Reunion, and this was an event that honored farms with 100 years or more of continued family ownership. This was also the year they introduced the first NC Brewers Cup beer competition. In 2014, the fair had the first ever military parade. It was held on Military Appreciation Day, and it featured a Bradley fighting vehicle and about 100 reenactors representing North Carolinians involved in military conflicts throughout the years. And as a history geek who loves reenactments, I can only imagine this was really, really cool, and I'm pretty disappointed that I wasn't there for this. 2015 was a notable year because 3 million people attended the fair. Keep in mind, the first fair brought about 4,000. The fair was closed on opening day in 2018. That was the first time in fair's history that they were closed on opening day, but it was because of hurricanes. And now we're at 2020. And like I said at the beginning of the show, they're not having a fair this year because of COVID, and I'm super disappointed. I did read that they're going to have a what they call a drive-through fair. They're going to set up the food trucks and stuff, and you can drive through and order fair food. And I bet that would be probably fun, at least something to see, but it sure won't be the same. But they have assured us that there will be a fair in 2021. That sounds really good, but we really, at this time, don't know how 2021 is going to go for us. But I am looking forward to it if they are going to have it. And that about wraps up my episode on the State Fair. I hope you enjoyed it. And it looks like this is one of my longest episodes so far, so I hope it wasn't too excruciating. But if you liked the show, or even if you hated it, don't forget to check me out at www.thencEverythingPodcast.com. There you can listen to all my other episodes and leave comments about the shows. There you'll also find links to my Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And with that, this is where I close the show. But like I always say, I'll talk to you next time.